Come on. We going to get it? No, I guess not. All right, here we go. Oh, I really love it.
Sports Time Radio. All sports, all the time.
We're still having a tad bit of musical difficulty, but hey, we worked it out, and let's roll out the Tuesday edition of Sports Time Radio. I'm the Big Jack. With me is Dan the Man. If you'd like to call into the podcast, 646-478-3753 is the number to do that. If not, feel free to email us, sportstimeradio@hotmail.com. Anything else you need, head on over to sportstimeradio.com. Now, you know, the blogs go up on Wednesdays and Saturdays, so you can look for something popping up there sometime tomorrow morning. Of course, while you're at sportstimeradio.com, hit that link, get yourself over to the Sports Time Radio Facebook page. If you could like that while you're over there, well, hey, we greatly appreciate that. But don't forget, we also have the Twitter feed, which is at Sports Time Radio. Now, you can find Dan and I on Twitter as well. I am at Burke Time, and Dan the Man is at?
I'm Dan, the man with.
So, all right. Well, you know, I'm sure, you know, maybe you missed us yesterday. We were, of course, supposed to be here, but Dan was lucky enough to get the opportunity to go to the White Sox game. And I was wondering, you know, Dan, could you, I don't know, describe your experience? How did you like, you know, Guaranteed Rate and all the kind of things they got going on there?
Well, I mean, they had the guaranteed rate of $4.15 for tax day, so that was pretty steep. I mean, it's like any other of the modern ballparks. I like it because you can literally walk around the entire, you know, concourse of the from home plate, you know, all the way back to home plate again. So, you know, that's one of the things that attracts me to it. But, you know, ever since I think it was Jessica Mendoza who pointed out the fact that, you know, why did they face the expressway and not the backdrop of the, you know, of the city skyline, which is kind of, every time I sit behind home plate, I just sit there and think how awesome it would be to have the stadium just flipped or moved so that, you know, the Xfinity Kids Zone is gone and, you know, over the entire left field, through the scoreboards, you get the city skyline as your backdrop.
Yeah, well, I think they didn't they kind of end up with that because they had to build the opposite way of the other ballpark?
Whatever excuse they gave, I don't really care. It should be an open air stadium. Well, no, it should be in a dome, you know, like the Diamondbacks for the Brewers with it positioned the way I said.
The dome. The dome would have been a nice addition, but you know, back then that wasn't really in vogue. You know, to do that, it wasn't quite as cool as it is now. But yeah, I think they ended up building the other way, more or less, because of construction issues. You know, because the old stadium was, you know, still there. So they had to kind of work around that, and I think that's how it ended up going the other way. But you know, you never know. I mean, maybe it's something they'll change down the road. I mean, they're about due for a new stadium, anyways, aren't they?
Yeah, well, I think the lease, this one with, you know, the state at the end of this decade, 2029 or something like that. And I mean,
yeah.
You know, whatever excuse they gave you back then. You know, there was an entire street in between the stadiums, and Old Comiskey Park was entirely enclosed. So they could have faced the stadium whatever way they wanted. But as I think anyone who lives in Chicago has learned, Jerry Reinsdorf really, I just feel like he didn't have a clue what the people really want or what would make this team super successful.
Well, not anymore. I mean, he's pushing Isn't he pushing about a hundo now? I mean, he's probably not even sure if he, you know, watches the games anymore. But, you know, I mean, you know, he did, you know, he got his World Series championship. So, you know, he can't be too unhappy. And, I mean, it does look like they have some young talent on, you know, on the forefront. I mean, again, you never know how those things work out. But, you know, we'll see. You know, the jury's kind of still out on that. You know, I know the young pitching has been a little disappointing. You know, neither Lucas Giolito nor Ronaldo Lopez seem to be on track yet this year. But, you know, we'll see. It's early. I mean, we're not expecting them to, you know, go to the World Series or anything. So we're, you know, we're okay. Or I guess they're okay. Somebody's okay.
Yeah.
You know, the important thing was, you know, did you have fun? And, I know the other thing I always hear about is food. Did you get to try any of the food? Because I always hear their concessions are, like, top-notch.
My nephew got a hamburger from one of the grill stands. That looked really good, but I don't know. I ate beforehand because I'm not willing to dish out all the money.
So all you did was you drank like 10 beers and paid $1,000 for those?
Yeah.
Oh. So, all right, well, there's Dan's gigantic White Sox. You know, White Sox experience from a Cub fan is how we could describe that one. So we'll see how it goes, you know.
Yeah, I mean, it was cool to get in and see Eloy and Yoan Moncada. I'm not a Sox fan, but they came behind in the bottom of the eighth. Tim Anderson was playing how he should be playing, and they came back. You know, Alex Colome closed out the ninth. It was a good comeback. It was a great game.
Well, that's good. Sadly, Dan, I haven't looked at the schedule yet, but judging by the television coverage, I think there's only one baseball game tonight, isn't there? Have you looked at the schedule, or are there more teams playing, or do we just have one game tonight?
No, just the Red Sox and the Yankees.
Yeah, that's what I thought. Because I've only heard anybody talk about the Red Sox and the Yankees. There was a little talk about like what Christian Yelich did last night, but yeah, I don't think he's. I don't even think the Brewers are playing today. Because all I've heard him talk about, I mean, literally all day is just Red Sox-Yankee breakdown. And no surprise, the game will be televised on MLB Network. I'm sure tomorrow night's game will be on the Mickey Mouse Network. And then, you know, if they're playing Thursday and Friday or just Thursday, that'll be back on the MLB Network. Or, you know, who knows, maybe Fox will pick it up. But, you know, every single one of their games are going to be televised. It is Chris Sale against James Paxton tonight for the starters. I don't know. I've heard everybody, you know, apparently we're supposed to be really worried about Chris Sale because his velocity is down. Are you in on that trade? Are you worried about Chris Sale?
Well, you remember everyone was down on Arrieta a couple of years back, his velocity being down.
Well, you know, sometimes I think they just look for reasons to be down on guys, but he is down, you know, right around 90 compared to where he used to be at 94, 95. I'm not as worried about it, but here I got the lineups for you. We got Mookie Betts leading off, Xander Bogaerts at short, JD Martinez in left tonight. Steve Pierce is the DH, Mitch Moreland at first, Eduardo Nunez at second, Rafael Devers at third. Sandy Leon is doing the catching tonight. He was just called up as the Red Sox designated Blake Swihart for assignment. And then Jackie Bradley Jr. will hit ninth there. He'll, of course, play center. The Yankees are going with DJ LeMahieu leading off, Aaron Judge next. Then we got Luke Voit hitting third. Gleyber Torres is the cleanup guy. Here's Dan's guy, Clint Frazier, getting a chance to play. He'll hit fifth tonight. Gio Urshela hits sixth. Brett Gardner hits seventh. Austin Romine will hit eighth. And Mike Tauschman will hit ninth for the Yankees. I saw the Yankees did get to add another guy to their injury list, too, as Greg Bird is on the IL now with, I think it's a foot issue. So chalk one more up for the Yankees. I think that's 13. So, you know, I guess is it just not the Yankees year, Dan? It's just going to be one of these years where they all just get hurt right and left?
Oh, it's still early.
Yeah, but they've done a good job of getting everybody hurt. Does this continue? I mean, are you foreshadowing this as a you know, as a extension down the road here for them?
Well, you know, fortunately for them, they've got enough guys to fill all the holes as long as no one from the pitching staff gets hurt.
Well, you know, they already do have Severino out. You know, you got to, you know, there's probably, you know, there's a good chance he may not pitch all of this year. So, you know, I don't think they can afford to lose another starting pitcher, but we'll have to, I guess we'll have to see. So, but all right, well, let's move on to some other baseball stuff. You know, you may have gotten home in time to see some of this. I was already asleep by then, but you know, Clayton Kershaw made his season debut last night. Actually pitched pretty well. He ended up going 7 innings, 5 hits, 2 runs, and struck out 6. One of the runs he did give up was a home run to Yasiel Puig, so that was kind of interesting. Did not get the decision, even though I think the Dodgers did go on to win the game. Did you get to watch any of it in person? Did you see any of it? How did Kershaw look? Because I honestly haven't seen any highlights yet, but I was obviously, if he went 7 innings, he must have felt pretty good.
Yeah, no. By the time I got home, it was 11:30, so I cleaned up and went to bed.
No. So yeah, I would have been interested, you know, just a, you know, obviously for me, that's you know, that's a little late for me to try to stay up. Of course, with the way I've been sleeping, I probably could have stayed up. But you know, I mean, the Dodgers got to look at that as a gigantic positive, right? A start like that right out of the gate for, you know, easily the most dominant pitcher, you know, in baseball for. God, I don't know how far you want to go back with this. Maybe 8 years. So, you know, depending on how you want to look at it, right? I mean, they've got to be pretty happy.
Yeah. I mean, this is the guy they just put in for 3 more years, right?
Was is that what they ended up with? Was it 3? I never remember.
I don't remember.
Yeah, 2022. So, you know, then he'll only be 34, so he can probably come back for 3 more years.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, just kind of how it worked out. And, I'm trying to, you know, obviously I didn't see the pitching matchup today. Do you happen to know what the pitching matchup is tonight as the Dodgers and the Reds square off?
It is Molly versus Maeda.
Oh, okay. Oh, duh, I should have known that. I put Maeda in my FanDuel lineup tonight. So I was reading that he was the best selection. So hopefully that pays off for me tonight. But we'll have to see. And I did catch a break last night. I don't know if you caught the tweet I shot at you. You know, I went with Irvin Santana again in my research that he was going to be a really good player for the Raiders play. So I went with him and I stacked up my lineup. Obviously, he didn't do great, but he did score me 18 points. And luckily, one of the guys in my lineup was Christian Yelich, who scored over 70. And I did manage to cash $4 on my dollar bet. So it worked out. I just kind of dumb luck. I kind of stumbled into it after, you know, Santana didn't come through. But I'll take it. But, and you won't be surprised by this, I did not hit a home run. So I'm sure that's not a shock to Dan or to anybody else that I did not hit a home run yesterday. see how that goes.
Did you happen to see who, what the winning number was, though?
Oh, no, I didn't. I was I was putting my stuff in for today, but I did not check it. I'm guessing it had to be a pretty decent number, because did he hit two or three last night? So I'm sure
three.
It was, you know, somebody with him. I guess it was probably five or six or something like that.
Yeah, the magic number was five. He was the only one to hit.
Yeah.
You know, more than one last night.
You know, yeah, it looks like there were quite a bit of guys racking up that number, huh?
Yeah, you know, maybe he'll go again tonight for four. You know, same with Chris Davis, Daniel Puck, and Paul Goldschmidt. Maybe they'll all hit four each.
Yeah, and then you know, FanDuel did have an earlier start to their main, so you could get your Red Sox and Yankees in your lineup. So this is what I came up with for tonight. I mentioned already Kenta Maeda is my pitcher. I got another Dodger, Max Muncy, as my first baseman. Whit Merrifield at second. Zach Cozart at third. Javier Baez at short tonight, Dan, so I need him to come through. I spent a little in the outfield with Mike Trout, and then I saved a little with Daniel Polka and Jake Cave as my other two guys. All those guys are in the lineup. The only lineup I'm waiting for is for the Indians to come out, because I have Jose Ramirez as my utility guy. So that's what I'm going to roll out there with that tonight and see how it goes. So, and then I'm trying to remember who my home run guys were. I know I took Alex Bregman. I think I have Brandon, and I know I've been pronouncing it Lowell, and I know it's wrong from Tampa Bay. For the life of me, I just can't remember how it's pronounced. And then I have Jack Peterson of the Dodgers. So those are my home run guys tonight. Who did you who'd you go with for home run derby? Did you get one in?
Yeah, you must have missed my little placement. But Chris Davis, Yelich, and Paul Goldschmidt.
Oh, okay, those were your guys. I heard you say it, but I wasn't sure if those were actually your guys.
Yeah.
Now, of course, you know, I have to ask, which Chris Davis?
Not your Chris Davis.
So, because you know he did homer. The Oriole Davis did homer last night. So
yeah,
maybe he's going to go on a streak now and rattle off some big time home runs. Well, I think didn't Goldschmidt homer last night? I believe.
Yeah, but of course I didn't get in on that.
Yeah, so I remember he was part of my FanDuel lineup. That's how I remembered how that worked out. I was kind of like, oh, okay, I will take that. So, yeah. But obviously, Dan, I know the Brewers are off to a really good start, and I'm still the one who has concerns about their pitching. And you know, they made some swaps in their staff here last night. They did get Jeremy Jeffress back, so they have another arm to plug into their bullpen. But they had to add Freddie Peralta to the injury list. They mentioned that he has a shoulder ailment, and they think the problem is in the joint. He's one of their young and upcoming starters, so that could be interesting to see where that goes, to see if and how they shut him down for how long. And then they did call up Aaron Wilkerson. I don't know if he'll take Peralta's spot in the rotation or what they'll do. And then they sent down Jake Patrichka, who some White Sox fans may remember spent some time in their bullpen a few years back. And I think I did some closing for them for a little while. But you know, Peralta made the start for the Brewers last night, and he only lasted 3 1/3, which is really not a big surprise for any Milwaukee pitcher. Four hits, three runs, they were all earned. He did walk three and strike out three. The problem was he gave up two bombs last night in a row. He gave up back-to-back dingers, and then he hit the next guy. So that was a little – little interesting there how that played out. You know, luckily it didn't escalate into anything, but I guess we'll see if or how it goes, and we'll have to look to see who the Brewers attempt to plug to that rotation spot. Now, do you think they moved Chase Anderson to the bullpen. Do you think he's the natural choice and they plug him back in? Or do you maybe see them, because I don't know if, let me double check, maybe I can tell us. I don't know if Wilkerson is a starter. Let me see what he's doing in the minor leagues. Well, he pitched in 3 games, but only one. Oh, that was last year. Only one of them was a start. What was he doing in the minors here this year? Yeah, it looks like he was rolling in the minors, Dan. 2.11 innings, 1-0 with a 0.79 ERA. So I'm guessing he's the answer, right?
Excuse me. Sorry, I missed that. What'd you say?
Said you're just going to plug Aaron Wilkerson into Freddy Peralta's spot with the start he's got off to in the minors, 1-0 with a 0.79 ERA in 2 starts.
How does that translate to the majors?
I don't know. That's just, really good numbers. Or, do you go with, a guy like Chase Anderson, who they have as the long guy in the bullpen? Obviously, he hasn't pitched, he's pitched in 4 games, and I don't think it would take him long to, obviously be stretched back out. So, are you going with the...
I would go with Chase Anderson and maybe bring the kid up.
Well, he's up. They called him up today. They sent the Pritchka down. So he's there. It's just depending on, what they do and how it, how it shuffles out for them from here. So, I guess we'll have to wait 4 days to find out unless they insert him, earlier, or if they can, give away some of their rotation plans. So, and then I did see the other injury, and this one obviously a little bigger. I saw that the Rays ended up putting Blake Snell on the injury list, apparently. And Dan, I don't understand how or why this keeps happening to guys, but he broke a toe moving furniture. Well, why the hell is a Cy Young winner moving furniture?
Is he married?
That I don't know. It did not say that in the article I read. All it said was he picked up a piece of furniture that he thought was one piece, and it ended up being two, and the piece came apart, and the one fell on his foot and broke the it was either the third or the fourth toe on his left foot. So, on the plus side, it looks like he's only going to miss the one start. But even so, Dan, what the hell is he doing moving furniture?
Is that the next thing that's going to be in their contract?
Yeah, they can't move furniture. So it'd be in my contract if I was be like, what the hell are you doing? So, that's just kind of one of those things. It's like, really? This is what you, it's as bad as, guys tripping over their dogs or their luggage or falling down the stairs or, whatever other stuff they seem to end up doing. But, like I said, luckily for Tampa Bay, it is, it is just one start.
They are jumping off balconies to save drowning children.
Yes. So, and yes, with that wonderful story that turned out to be an incredible cover for being young stupid, but I guess that has happened to all of us at some point in time. Not so much a story like that, but being young and stupid. Oh, look at that, Joey Bottle's leading off tonight. That's going to be good for Mr. Fantasies and I Money League. And then I did see, all the Giant fans and everybody else who wanted to push Buster Posey out from behind the plate faster than he probably should have been, have to slow your roll a little bit, because Joey Bart broke his hand in his minor league game last night. So don't expect to see him this year. He'll be, you know, obviously he'll finish up the year, and you know, maybe next year when it rolls around, he'll be able to finally buster to first base like all you guys want.
I thought you started that petition.
No, not me. No, why would I want to get rid of Buster? That would be Mr. Fantasy starting that. I love Buster. So.
Well, no, I meant for behind the plate.
No, I want him to catch as long as he can catch, man. I think he should stay there forever. He should catch 20 years if he can.
Like Benito Santiago.
Sure. You know, Ivan Rodriguez, what did he catch, 23 seasons or something? So, that, you know, that would be fantastic. I love seeing guys being able to, you know, do stuff like that. So, but, yeah, now, I came across this one, and it's always kind of humorous because, obviously, you know, I don't think I would have ever managed to pick this guy, but Richard Justice wrote an article about the most interesting player in baseball. You know, and I thought, oh, okay, this is, you know, this is kind of interesting here. Who did he pick? And the guy would probably give you 15 guesses and you couldn't get the guy. But he went with Chris Davis of the A's. So I guess here in turn, Dan, it's a two-pronged question. A, of course, is who is the most interesting player in baseball? Would you even really – do you have Davis in your top five?
I don't know. That's kind of rough. I mean, what are the parameters? What makes you interesting? What doesn't?
He has him on his – he's the most interesting guy. He starts with because of his power – you know, which we've obviously seen. Then he adds in the fact that he's going to be an impending free agent. And the third and final thing is his personality, which I don't really know a lot about because playing on the West Coast, we don't see or hear much of him. You know, obviously, you know, Justice is a baseball guy. He gets to cover all the teams. So, you know, he'll kind of know what's going on. But those are the three parameters he went with. You know, obviously, I know there's a couple guys we agree on as being really interesting. You know, we both think it's fantastic. Is, you know, probably my top guy. I'd probably say, oh well, he's my most interesting guy. But I don't know. Do you have somebody in mind that's interesting to you? Or, you know, without stealing my guy.
Well, to be honest, I have to go Homer with that one, and that's definitely Javi Baez.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, he would definitely be on my list. He's a fantastic guy to watch. I get a big kick out of those guys. But, obviously it's an interesting choice, and it's hugely debatable depending on, you know, what you think makes a guy interesting. So, I'm sure, you know, a lot of people would have just said Bryce Harper, wouldn't they?
Yeah, but he's, you know, he doesn't have stupid sayings anymore. I don't know. I mean, is he living up to the hype? But, you know, everything behind Bryce Harper, he just kind of, for being, even Mike Trout, for what they're pushed as, they don't go out there with these huge egos. But I don't know if that's like a baseball thing. Because, I mean, if you really think about it, no matter, well, from what we see, a lot of the guys, the top guys in Major League Baseball don't seem to have like an NBA arrogance to them or even an NFL arrogance to them.
Yeah. Now, do you wonder if maybe that's caused because it literally takes so long to get to the major leagues, you know, for these guys. Because even if you're, you know, the best player, you're going to spend some time in the minors probably riding a bus somewhere. You know, very few guys go straight from the draft to the big league, where in every other sport, you know, especially if you're a top draft pick, you know, in, you know, the NBA and the NFL, you know, they go immediately to the team.
and making millions.
Yeah.
But, you know, and I guess I never thought of it that way because I've always noticed Major League Baseball players just don't seem to have that huge of ego. But you're right, you know, even if it's just 2 years, like Alex Gordon, who was drafted, and then 2 years later, you know, some of that fun knowledge they put on the big video boards when you're at the game. So I just throw that in there. You know, it's not fun. It's an entire summer. And, well, yeah, it would suck in, you know, in the winter. I think it makes it a little bit worse in the summer because not only are you traveling by bus, you're also traveling by bus with a bunch of dudes. And
yeah.
I can imagine that. I can imagine the aroma on that bus mid-July, you know, into August.
Yeah, and, you know, and obviously, you know, there are guys who, you know, didn't spend, you know, a ton of time, you know, in the minor leagues. I'm trying to remember. I want to see if I can find it here. Like Bryce Harper had 139 minor league games. So, you know, he didn't spend a ton of time down there. But even
well,
so,
Brian,
I mean, it covered four seasons. So, you know, that's four
yeah.
seasons of, you know, riding the bus, you know,
yeah.
or doing whatever else they – you know, they needed him to do at that point as he worked his way through. You know, Mike Trout spent 5 years down there, 290 games in the minors. So, yeah.
Well, and, you know, not to mention the fact that a lot of these kids, you know, once their season's up in early September or end of August, which, you know, after their playoffs, if they didn't go in the playoffs, you know, they're back to Arizona for the fall league. And then, you know, down to, you know, the Caribbean or South America sometimes for the winter league.
Yeah.
You know, and then down in single A, I don't even know if, you know, they have their own housing. I think they're, you know, and I could be wrong, but I don't know if down at that level they're being sponsored. You know, I know the couple of the local independent teams, they have sponsors for the players. You know, I don't think Carlos Zambrano is going to need a sponsor when he goes and plays with the Chicago Dogs starting this May. I had to. You know, I've been waiting this entire time to work that in because you didn't let me get it in on another spot where you're talking about a guy, Chris Dale, throwing 95. I just couldn't work it in when you were talking there. But I, you know, well, you can't read my mind, but I didn't in there, but too quickly. But no, it's neither here nor there. I had to throw that in. Zambrano, Chicago Dogs, Rosemont, Illinois. I'll be there. I don't know if you're going to be there. We can meet each other.
That'll be fun. I'm
sure Mr. Fantasy has the owner's box seats, but, you know, we can't sit with him.
You know. You think he would take us with him, let him sit in the box? But you know, like I said before, I've never been allowed to sit with him in a box at any sporting event. So,
but no, it
you know,
you know, and I think that's a humbling thing too, where you know, American football players, except for Johnny Manziel, you know, really don't take the move because I think their ego doesn't let them. And go up to Canada and play.
Wait, I have to correct you there real quick. It's now John. All right, he's going by John. I don't know if you saw that release, but yeah, he stated
no,
in an interview somewhere that he's called John. So yeah, you gotta make that adjustment. So.
All right, John. I'm gonna call him Jonathan Football now. Jonathan Football.
There you go. Well, you know, and I don't know why you would give it up because you know John Football just. Doesn't really cut it, does it? I mean, Johnny Football was cool. But, you know, yeah, okay, well, you're John Football. Yeah, no, sorry. So.
Yeah, well, you know, I think the biggest mistake with Johnny Football was the fact that they didn't capitalize on that marketing campaign that they could have had.
Yeah.
But I think that's a testament to, how just out of it the front office for the Browns were. I mean,
yeah,
you had the perfect opportunity, and you just – I mean, they've turned things around, and we'll see how things go this season if they win three games, maybe four, even though they've got some big talent. But I don't think that it's enough. But I'll be back in a few.
All right. Well, while Dan runs off, I did want to go over the baseball schedule with you tonight. We did have a couple games already start. Of course, as you know, it's Red Sox at Yankees. It's Chris Sale against James Paxton. The other game underway has the Pittsburgh Pirates at the Detroit Tigers. It's Joe Musgrove against Matthew Boyd in that one. We have the San Francisco Giants at the Washington Nationals. It's Derek Rodriguez against Steven Strasburg in that. The New York Mets are at the Philadelphia Phillies. We got Steven Motz and Nick Pivetta making the start there. The Baltimore Orioles are at the Tampa Bay Rays. It's Dylan Bundy and Tyler Glasnow as the starters there. That's a really good pitching matchup, couple young guys there. The Chicago Cubs are at the Miami Marlins. It's Jose Quintana and Pablo Lopez as the starters there. The Arizona Diamondbacks are at the Atlanta Braves. It's Robbie Ray and Max Fried getting the starts there. The St. Louis Cardinals are at the Milwaukee Brewers. We got Jack Flaherty and Brandon Woodruff listed as the starters. The Toronto Blue Jays are at the Minnesota Twins. We got Aaron Sanchez and Kyle Gibson getting the starts there. The Los Angeles Angels are at the Texas Rangers. It's Jaime Barrera and Mike Minor making the starts for those teams. The Kansas City Royals are at the Chicago White Sox. We got George Lopez against Ronaldo Lopez. Maybe it's pronounced Jorge because it does have the G in there. So we'll go with Jorge Lopez for the Royals and Ronaldo Lopez for the Sox. The Colorado Rockies are at the San Diego Padres. We got John Gray against Nick Marjavikis. Marjavikis. Let's go with that. We got the Houston Astros at the Oakland A's. This game is available on the Mickey Mouse Network app if you're paying for that. You got Colin McHugh and Marco Estrada making the starts there. We got the Cincinnati Reds at the Los Angeles Dodgers. We got Tyler Molly against Kenta Maeda. And then the night wraps up with the Cleveland Indians at the Seattle Mariners. I almost said Seahawks, but it's the Mariners. And we got Shane Bieber against Mike Leake in that game. So there you go. There's your starting pitching matchups for the night if you have to make FanDuel adjustments or you want to make FanDuel adjustments. You know, you can still do your late swaps. Or maybe you're in the late league and you just want to know what's going on there. And like I said, I have to go back and see if the Indians have announced their lineup. I'm pretty confident that Jose Ramirez is going to play. I just kind of like to make sure because I don't want to take a zero for not having a guy in a lineup. If I take a zero because the guy stinks, that's a different story. And sadly, I've taken a lot of them down the road and all those other things. But, yeah, I don't want to be the guy who doesn't make that change. So we'll have to see. And it looks like they're still not announced. So I will have to come back a little later to check out good old FanDuel and see what they have to tell me about my guy there. But like I said, I'm pretty confident that he's gonna make the start. He pretty much plays every night, and I haven't heard about any injury issues or anything with him, so I am okay there. Just so you know, the games that have started, there's no score in either of them. The Yankees and the Red Sox are headed into the bottom of the third, and we'll see how that goes. But yeah, I'm trying to think what else is going on, or how things have kind of went this year so far in baseball. But I still think it's too early for anybody to be like, this team is just, they're struggling still, and it's going to stay like that all year. I mean, obviously the Yankees' biggest problem is they just need to get healthy. The Red Sox just, they seem a little flat still, and you wonder if they got the World Series hangover going on. And I know the Mariners have kind of come back to earth. They've dropped four in a row, while the Astros are on a 9-game winning streak, the longest in baseball. So, you know, it's just kind of, you know, the ebb and flow of the game. You know, the Cubs are, you know, still 6-9, but again, we're only talking about, you know, we're 15 games in. So what, why start the panic? I mean, the Rockies are 5-12, but they've won their last couple games and they've looked better. You know, you can't tell me they're going to play, you know, at the rate of 7 games under 500 all year. I just can't seem to buy that. I mean, you know, the weirdest thing with Colorado is they haven't won a home game yet. You know, granted, they've only played 5, but, you know, it's Colorado. They're kind of built for their home park. Their pitchers have had a lot of success there last year. And, yeah, it's just kind of like, obviously it's tough. You know, you're opening up with, 11 of your first, 17 games on the road, or 12 of your first 17 games on the road. But obviously it all evens out. And, you know, you want to protect your home field. I mean, the only other team without a win in one place or the other is the Royals, but they've only played 3 games on the road. And, you know, they may get that tonight against the White Sox, who are just 1-5 at home and got that first win last night while Dan was there. So maybe Dan's good luck for the White Sox, and he needs to, needs to be going to more games. So we'll see how it goes. But I did find, while Dan is off, I found 10 fantasy sleepers that you should target. The problem, of course, is if you're in a 20-team league, all these guys are going to be gone. But I'm going to run them down for you here. They go with Hunter Renfroe of the Padres, Zach Eflin of the Phillies, Shane Green of the Tigers, Anthony Swarzak of the Mariners, Nico Goodrum of the Tigers, Matt Shoemaker of the Blue Jays, Ryan Brazier of the Red Sox, Jorge Polanco of the Twins, Trevor Williams of the Pirates, and Blake Parker, also of the Twins. Like I said, if you're in a smaller league, it's possible some of these guys are available. If you've been paying attention, somebody already has Shane Green because he came out of the gate with, was it 8 saves or 10 saves or something like that? And I wouldn't expect him to keep up that pace, but, you know, the thing with closers is, you know, in baseball today, even bad closers get 30 saves. You know, if you're the full-time closer, you're going to hit that 30 save mark. So it's not like, you can't just go out and find a guy. And I'm drawing a blank. I know Green ran off a bunch of saves to start the season, but I actually have to check it because I, for the life of me, I can't remember it. But I wanted to say it was 8. So
I thought it was 6. But
yeah, he's actually 8 of 8 right now. Kirby Yates of the Padres is 9 of 9. So, there are, again, like I said, even a bad closer, as long as he's the regular guy getting the opportunities, will get you 30 saves. So, that's why, unless, of course, you went like Mr. Fantasy and I did and went with Brad Boxberger, who is just completely lost this year and can't seem to get anybody out. So, and has an ERA over 9. But that's just how things go for Mr. Fantasy and I. So, but all right, Dan, I have to ask you, switching up here. We got the NHL tonight. I don't know if you saw your guy Ovi knock that kid out in that fight last night, but beyond that, we have the Tampa Bay Lightning. They're on the road. They're in Columbus. You know, Dan, they were the best team in the NHL throughout the regular season. They're now down 3-0. In their opening round series. They're on the road. Are they going home?
Yeah,
it
they're
would
going
be the
home.
First time ever. It would be the first time ever a President's Trophy winner would be swept out of the playoffs. Is there history tonight?
Yes, there is. They're going home, and I'm not going to have the opportunity to see them play. Not that I would, being down in Tampa. Oh, yeah, I forgot to tell you about that. We'll talk about that later.
Yeah, thank you. You guys on your vacation, so you don't tell me.
Yeah, I forgot. It's one of those I'm really excited about driving to Florida.
Yeah, yeah. The other 3-0 series tonight, the Islanders have a 3-0 lead on the Penguins. Now, they are in Pittsburgh. Is Sidney Crosby going home in the first round and it being swept away?
I don't know. I feel like they've got what it takes to at least win this game.
So, and just so you know, Columbus is already up on Tampa Bay 1-0 very early in the first period.
Of course.
If you're looking for that game and you can't find it, it's because it's on CNBC. So start hunting around through your news channels, and that's where you'll find Tampa Bay at Columbus, with Columbus leading 1-0 already. So, yeah, and then the second game tonight, that'll be on NBC Sports. It's starting in about 15 minutes. It's the Islanders at the Penguins. Then we go back to CNBC for an 8:30 start, which has the Jets at the Blues. The Blues do lead that series 2-1, but I'm not worried about my Jets. They're going to bounce back. And then to wrap up the night in the NHL, we got San Jose at Las Vegas. Vegas does lead that series 2-1. That's another NBC Sports Network game. So just two channels for you to bounce back and forth tonight. You're either watching CNBC or you're watching the NBC Sports Network.
You don't have to go over to USA for anything?
Well, no, that's tomorrow. So, but yeah, how kind of humorous is it, Dan, that I saw the first period of Lightning Blue Jackets in game one, and Tampa Bay came out and, you know, just lit them up 3 goals. It looked like they were definitely going to be the dominant team in the series. I turned it off, never went back to it, and they've been basically crushed ever since. So.
Well, you know the problem. Well, who has more former Blackhawks on their team? The Blue Jackets?
I would guess the Blue Jackets. But yeah, because off the top of my head, I can't think of any that the Lightning have, but I think the Blue Jackets have a couple. So.
Yeah. Well, you know, and I think that's one of the hard things with the NHL and that hard salary cap is you can't really keep teams together. You know, like I keep forgetting. Every time I see Wilson on the back of a jersey for Washington, it's Tom Wilson, and Justin Wilson's down there in Carolina. So, it throws me off. Would have liked to have seen him win the cup with – or did he win the cup with Capitals? I don't remember. But even then, I mean, a few years back with the triplets down in Tampa and Stamkos, I mean, I don't know if they were all broken up, but – feel like not everyone's still there together, and you know, I think they're one of the team. They're almost kind of the equivalent to the Raptors. You know, they always make that playoff run, but other than that, you can't really count on them for being in the finals.
Yeah, it is. You know, it is tough. I mean, they lost to the Blackhawks 1 year in the Stanley Cup Finals, I believe. A few years ago. They look like a good team, and they don't, I get it. You know, the competition in the East is tough. I mean, obviously, you know, every year you're going to have to deal with Pittsburgh. You're going to have to deal with Washington. Toronto looks like it's on the right path, you know, with their young guys. So it's really tough out there. But, yeah, Tampa has had some good teams that just – you know, didn't really come through. And I think, you know, this one will probably be the most disappointing one of all, won't it? If they go from best regular season record to swept out in the first round.
Well, and then, you know, it starts to, I don't know. It just, does the President's Cup mean all that much? But, you know, it's a cool thing to end the season with, but unless you win the championship, kind of like the Warriors had the best record, and then they lost the finals.
Yeah. So, sadly, I mean, obviously it doesn't mean anything, but you would think if you were that good in the regular season, how do you, especially in a first-round series, you know, I mean, like this is a team you should dominate. And you know, I mean, you've blown games. So yeah, it's just, you know, just kind of maddening when you think about it. But I you know, jumping back real quick, did you see the Ovechkin fight last night?
No, I did not.
Yeah, apparently he had a scuffle with a kid who idolized him growing up, some 19-year-old kid, and I'm drawing a blank on his name. I wanted to see if I could find it here really quick. But, yeah, apparently Ovi knocked him out, and the kid's in concussion protocol now.
Holy crap.
So... but, yeah, I guess, here it is. His name is Andrei Svechnikov. So, yeah.
You
got to
give us more. You got to give us more. Like, what do you know what sparked it? What happened?
No, you know, it was it was the usual back and forth NHL stuff. You know, there was, you know, hitting each other with the sticks, and they kind of faced off, and you know, I'm guessing, you know, Ovechkin more or less, I think it seemed like he asked him, like you would say, you know, hey, do you want to go? And the kid shook his head yes, and they dropped the gloves and started throwing punches. And it looked like the kid got a couple good shots in to start, and then Ovi just took over, and he landed a bomb on him, and that was it. I mean, the kid was knocked out. You know, and I mean, not only the knockout, then he's got to land on the ice, which is, you know, almost as bad, if not worse. So, he's in concussion protocol, and I believe his availability for their next game, I think they have the extra day now. I don't think they play till Thursday. So, yeah, you know, it'll be interesting to see what or if his availability would be by then. Yeah, they don't play again until Thursday in Carolina, and Washington does lead that series 2-1. So, but yeah, it was, you know, definitely a fight. So I don't know how else to describe it. It was just kind of like, wow.
Surprised the referee wasn't able to break the fall.
Yeah, I kind of was wondering that myself, but it just didn't, you know, I was kind of like, guess not.
Well, depending on how bad this results for this kid, I mean, do you think this is one of those fights that could change the NHL practices, so to speak?
You know, I do wonder... you know, like, luckily, you know, while, you know, I'm understanding, you know, he's in concussion protocol just because it's a thing they do. It didn't look too bad, so I'm hoping he's okay. You never know with that kind of stuff. But, yeah, I mean, it is possible, you know, they could start looking at trying to change it, or maybe even just finally legislating fighting out of the game. So, you know, that could be, you know, very, very interesting to see how they handle that. But, I got to switch sports on you one more time, Dan, because obviously besides Red Sox Yankees, the only other thing anybody wanted to talk about on a major sporting network is the fact that the Golden State Warriors blew a 31-point lead last night and lost game 2 of their series to the Clippers. You know, the worst part of it was DeMarcus Cousins tore a quad, and he's done. You know, now, of course, you know, all the questions come up, Dan. Is this the year? Are they vulnerable? You know, can they do it? Are you buying them with any type of weakness after something like this, or did they just maybe fall asleep?
I think they just fell asleep. You know, it's been a long 4 years. They're allowed to have a bad game.
Oddly, this is the second time they've done this year where they've blown big leads. I'm a little surprised they didn't relax as much in the playoffs. That's kind of, an embarrassment more than anything that they would slack off on a playoff team. I get it. It's an eighth seed, but it's still a playoff team. You shouldn't overlook them, even though those upsets don't happen too often. But, obviously it's going to be news. Anytime they lose a game, it's going to be news. So this, of course, was big news.
Well, it could have been LeBron and the Lakers. That
could have been. Boy, then imagine the coverage it would be getting.
Mm-hmm.
So,
at the end of the day, a loss is a loss. And I think as the Warriors, this team that we see in front of us has grown together with the addition of Kevin Durant, which I was having an interesting conversation with my nephew, both of them over the last couple of weeks, with just thinking that we believe that the Thunder could have did something if you had, all those guys still there. So it makes sense as to why, KD got some of the heat that he got. Definitely not as bad as LeBron did when he went down south. But, maybe in the grand scheme of things, they're no longer looking at how big of a victory it is as opposed to, we lost tonight and overall it's about the win.
Obviously, they've been there before and this is no big deal for them. It's just something for, people like us and the mainstream media to jump on and talk about and just be like, are they vulnerable? Is this it? Are we finally seeing the collapse? And, if they do collapse this year and lose a playoff series, I don't think it's going to be to the eighth seed.
No, it would be pretty interesting, though.
Yeah, if they got beat by the Rockets, in the Western Conference Finals, or maybe whatever team gets there for the East, the Bucks, the Celtics, the Sixers, whatever team manages to fight through, then they lost, no big deal, it happens. But yeah, they're not rolling over to an eighth seed and being sent home after one round. At least I don't think so. So, but there are three games tonight, Dan, if you want to flip through. We have the Magic at the Raptors. I believe the Magic won game one. That was kind of a big upset. The Spurs are at the Nuggets. The other upset there, the Spurs won game one. And then we got the Thunder at the Trailblazers. Portland is up 1-0 there. They were the favorite going in. It's the first game, the Magic-Raptors is a TNT game. And then the Oklahoma City and Portland is the other TNT game. Bogle for a second, San Antonio and Denver, they'll be on NBA TV. So, you can hunt those games down if that's what you're into. I aren't a huge fan. Occasionally I swing by to see what the score is or watch a couple minutes, but I just don't enjoy the games. So maybe Dan will watch them for you.
No, that's your job tonight.
I wish, but sadly we know that's not going to happen. So, we need to use this time for Dan and I to roll along here. We're coming back tomorrow at 5:30. You know the deal while we're gone, though. SportsRadio.com. You see that new blog popping up there tomorrow morning. Hit that link and follow it over to SportsRadio. Please give that a link to you. Talk about it in 1 hour. Don't forget to also have your Twitter feed, which is on Sports Radio. Feel free to hunt Dan and I down there.
Roll out. Radio. Roll out.